This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Jesus is someone who is interested in changing things in your life and my life. He really is. What Jesus did, he does, is the title of the whole series from the Gospel of Mark. The title of today's message is Dealing with Pride and Prejudice. You know what we're going to do today? We're going to deal with pride and prejudice, and then the third part, I'm going to share what I consider to be one of the most, if not the most frightening passage of Scripture in the Bible. If you want to know what sends a chill up my spine from a passage in the Bible, it's the words of Jesus we're going to read today. And you'll see it. It'll come to you. When you read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Let's read it together. Mark 9, beginning at verse 33, as we continue this series. They, meaning Jesus and the disciples, came to Capernaum, verse 33. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me welcomes the Father." "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." Underline that phrase, because that's what a lot of churches do. "They're not one of us," because he was not one of us. "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes," here's the scary passage, folks, "if anyone causes one of these little ones," pointing to the children, "who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone, weighs 300 to 400 pounds, tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell." Now, I'm going to talk about that hyperbole. That means exaggeration to make a point. So don't get upset by those verses on the face of it. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. But I want to talk about pride and prejudice for a few minutes. Jesus has the experience of listening to the disciples arguing on the way to this town called Capernaum. He knows what they were arguing about. Have you ever asked your child or your children, "What were you two fighting about," when you knew what they were fighting about? Did it get awfully quiet because one's waiting on the other one to speak first? That's what the disciples were doing. If you can believe it, they were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Every organization, every family system, every extended family, every school, it doesn't matter where, workplace, where people are always wondering about who's in charge. Who's got the authority? Who's the power broker here? And we're always interested in power and control and prestige and fame and authority, and it extends to every group of people. Get any group of people together, including the disciples of Jesus Christ, and they're wondering who's going to be the greatest.
Well, we'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope, exactly where we leave off today. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Have you ever asked your child or your children, "What were you two fighting about," when you knew what they were fighting about? Did it get awfully quiet because one's waiting on the other one to speak first? That's what the disciples were doing. If you can believe it, they were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. every organization, every family system, every extended family, every school, it doesn't matter where, workplace, where people are always wondering about who's in charge? Who's got the authority? Who's the power broker here? And we are always interested in power and control and prestige and fame and authority, and it extends to every group of people. Get any group of people together, including the disciples of Jesus Christ, and they're wondering who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus deals with it in a dramatic way. He said, you want to be first? Number one, be last. You talk about a flip in their thinking. You want to be first, be last. In other words, you serve other people, be a servant, and you'll be a leader. And then Jesus takes a little child, and let's bring it up in verse 35. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Jesus takes someone who had no status in the culture. I don't know if you know this, but in the Roman culture, a father had the power of life and death over a baby. When his wife gave birth to a baby and he looked at that baby and said, I don't want that baby, get rid of it. They got rid of it. You know exactly what I mean. They got rid of it. And that was the kind of culture that Jesus is living in when Jesus takes a child and he says, you want to be great? You be like this little child. He was elevating the place of children in the culture, in my opinion, in a powerful way by saying, you become like this little child. You humble yourself like a child and you will be great. I read this about a year ago, and yet in every service, people ask for copies of this. I don't know who wrote it, but it goes like this. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator and I wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat and I found out it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake just for me. And that's when I knew that little things are special. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer and then I believed there was a God I could talk to. When you thought I wasn't looking, I felt you kiss me goodnight and I felt loved. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt in life, but it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw that you cared, and I wanted to be everything that I could be. And the last one, when you thought I wasn't looking, I looked and wanted to say thanks for all the things I saw in your life when you thought I wasn't looking. Children notice what goes on in the life of their parents to the point that they even take what I call silent cues. That a boy grows up and he learns how to treat a woman by watching the way his dad treats his mother. And the girl learns how to treat her husband, her future husband, by watching her mother and the way she reacts to her husband. And they learn how to deal with strangers and they learn how to deal with people at the door and they learn how to deal with family because they're watching constantly and the computer's always on and it's taking in information, visual and verbal and otherwise, the cues that they take in life with them. And isn't it interesting, Jesus said as a role model, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you be like a little child.
We'll continue this message tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org.
I want to talk about prejudice in verse 38. Let's bring that up. Teacher, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop it, because he was not one of us. Don't stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. Let's stop right there. I confess this in both services, the first two services, and I'm going to confess it to you, because and I feel bad doing it in a way, because it sounds like I'm slamming my home church where I grew up, and I'm not. It sounds like I'm slamming my parents, and I'm not. I'm just telling you and other people in both first service and second service that grew up the same way. But I will confess to you that I grew up in an environment religiously that you know who the enemy was? The Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Episcopalians, the Lutherans, the Catholics. And I grew up in a religious mentality that everybody else was the enemy. Then I got in my 20s and somebody whispered in my ear one time, Randy, Satan is the enemy. Satan is the enemy, not people in other churches. And then it was further driven home to me when Lewis Foster, who was a professor at Cincinnati Christian University, one of the translators of the NIV, the translation that I preach from, said that anybody who calls Jesus Lord is my brother or sister, whether I like it or not. Well, that was an eye-opening experience for somebody who grew up in an opposite mentality. Anybody who calls Jesus Lord is my brother or sister, whether I like it or not. And then another professor, I will remember this as long as I live, he talked to a group of people my age, and here's what he said. He said, I don't think it'll happen in his generation. Speaking of himself, he said, I don't think it'll happen with mine, but he said, I think it could happen in your generation, where you will see the day come when saying three words will cause you to be arrested. He said, it may even get so bad that in your generation, you will see the day where saying three words could cause you to lose your life. Do you know what the three words are? Jesus is Lord. And then he went on to say this, which I found very intriguing because of the time frame and when he said it. When they do arrest people for saying Jesus is Lord, and they do execute people, if that day ever comes, God forbid, that they execute people for saying Jesus is Lord, he said this, they're not going to say, now, were you a Presbyterian or a Methodist? Were you a Lutheran? Were you Episcopalian? It won't matter. You said Jesus is Lord. You're arrested. When they execute people, they won't say, now, which denomination did you belong to? Which group were you a part of? You're dead because you said Jesus is Lord. And isn't it interesting? There were people that the disciples saw casting out demons in Jesus' name, and they stopped him and said, you're not part of us. You're not with our group. And Jesus said, don't stop him. If he's doing it in my name, he's with us. He's not against us. There's a valuable lesson about religious prejudice in that passage. Now then, the hard part of this passage, folks, I'll be the first to tell you, is the last part. It starts in verse 42. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone around his neck. Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we'll deal with this difficult passage where Jesus says it'd be better to be thrown into the deepest sea with a 300-pound stone around your neck than it would be to lead a child astray. That's pretty dramatic, and yet that's what Jesus said. We'll talk about that tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. To listen to any message you miss or to find out how you can become a part of this ministry, we call Cross Hope. Now then, the hard part of this passage, folks, I'll be the first to tell you, is the last part. It starts in verse 42. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone around his neck. And then Jesus uses the hyperbole, the exaggeration, to make a point that your hand offends you, spiritually cut it off. He didn't mean to maim your body. This wasn't self-injury like we talked about the demon-possessed man who cut himself with stones. Jesus wasn't endorsing that. Here's what Jesus was saying. If there's anything in your life spiritually that's causing someone else to sin or causing you to sin, you'll be better off spiritually in eternity to get rid of that thing in your life, that activity, that habit, whatever, that thing that you own. Be better off to get rid of it than to keep it and cause someone to sin. What was Jesus saying about causing children to sin? Very simply this. A millstone was a stone that was so big that it could not be moved by a human. It had to be moved usually by a pack animal, like a mule or a horse or an ox. And it's a 300 to 400-pound rock that they would use to grind wheat. And Jesus said, spiritually speaking, you'd be better off, if you're going to cause a child to sin, to have that rock put around your neck like a necklace and be thrown into the ocean. And you say, well, Jesus was just exaggerating to make a point, but let me tell you what the point is. Damnation. Damnation of the soul for the person who leads other people, especially children, younger believers, into sin without repenting of it. That's what it means. You can tone it down all you want. You can clean it up all you want and say, well, he doesn't really mean that. Well, then tell me what he means. He's talking about hell. I'm talking about facing eternal punishment. I said this in the first service. I think it surprised people. But folks, I really believe this. I think there's going to be a lot of people on Judgment Day are going to be shocked, to put it mildly. People who served the Lord, worked for the Lord, church people every Sunday, but who violated this passage of Scripture in the way they misled younger people into sin, and they will face eternal judgment if they don't repent, is my own feeling on it. Eternal damnation and punishment if they don't repent. Why? Because I say so? No, because of what Jesus said in Mark 9. Don't go to your grave with the unconfessed sin that you led someone astray, whether it's your child, a grandchild, or somebody else's child. Don't go to your grave without confessing that sin to the Lord, because like any other sin, it requires the forgiveness of Christ. Like any other sin, it requires the forgiveness of Christ. What's the message today? The Lord says, don't be filled with pride. God resists the proud. He gives his grace to the humble. He resists prejudice. Don't develop or cop an attitude that we're superior because we're a part of a church group or we're a part of that church group. And some of you grew up, I had people from Methodist background, I had Baptist, I had people from the Lutheran church come up to me. Every church said we had the same attitude. We thought everybody was going to hell but us. And we had a good laugh from that, but you know, there's a lot of truth to that. And we're not to have the attitude towards somebody who calls Jesus Lord. They are my brother or sister, whether I like it or not, because he's the Lord of both of us.
Well, I do hope you'll make effort to hear the program tomorrow. There's a story that I'm going to conclude with on Friday that I actually had some second thoughts about whether or not to use. It's so strong. We're going to use it. I want you to hear it tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. To listen to any message you missed, or also to find out how you can become a part of a ministry that we call Crosshope. God bless you. That's crosshope.org.
Some of you, well, I'll just ask, I did it in the first two services. How many of you remember reading an author when you were in school by the name of O. Henry? Anybody remember? Well, actually, more people than in the second service people, they don't read. I don't know what it is. You know, I'm always doing this testing, one, two, three. No, I'm just kidding. I'm exaggerating to make a point. But O. Henry was famous for his twist endings of stories. He would write a story with a twist ending. And you may remember reading some of it. His name was William Sidney Porter. He grew up, was born in Greensboro, North Carolina. And that was his pen name, O. Henry. William Barclay quotes a story that I was not familiar with, and this is very strong. But remember, I'm not reading scripture to you. I'm not quoting the Bible. I'm quoting William Barclay, who's quoting O. Henry. I want to clarify that. Barclay says this: O. Henry, the American master of the short story, has a story in which he tells of a little girl whose mother had died. Her father used to come home from work and sit down and take off his jacket and open his newspaper, light his pipe, and prop up his feet on a footstool. His daughter would come in and would ask him to play with her for a little while, for she was lonely. She missed her mom who had died. The father routinely in the story told her he was tired. He had a hard day at work. Sweetheart, just let me have a little peace and quiet while I read my paper. Just go out in the street and play. And she played on the streets, and the inevitable happened. You know Henry's story, she took to the streets, which is a nice way of saying she became a prostitute. She took to the streets, which is a nice way of saying she became a prostitute. The years passed on and she died. You know, Henry's vision of what happened to the girl extends to heaven in the story. The girl's soul arrives in heaven. The apostle Peter sees her and says to Jesus, Master, here's a girl who was a bad lot. She lived a life of prostitution. I suppose we should send her straight to hell, shouldn't we? No, said Jesus gently. Let her in. Let her in. And then his eyes, the eyes of Jesus in the story, grow stern. But I want you to look for a man. I want you to look for a man who refused to play with his little girl and who sent her out to the streets. And I want you to find him and send him to hell. Send him to hell. God is not hard on the sinner, but God will be stern to the person who makes it easier for another to sin, and whose conduct, either thoughtless or deliberate, puts a stumbling block in the path of the weaker brother. Now, I'm not quoting scripture to you. I know this is just a story, but part of it is based in the reality of Mark 9. Because Jesus would put it this way: you would be better off, spiritually speaking, to have a 300-pound rock attached to your neck and to be thrown into the Atlantic Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, or the Pacific. You know why? Because it's true. It would be better to lose your life rather than to cause someone to sin. Now, please listen, because this is the most important thing I'm going to say. There's probably not one person in here who hasn't caused someone to sin. What do we need to do? Repent. Confess it to the Lord. There's one verse of scripture I quote more than any other verse of the Bible. It's 1 John 1:9. If you get tired of hearing it from me, I'm sorry, but it's the most important verse in a lot of ways for a lot of people. It goes like this: if we confess our sins, he, meaning Christ, is faithful and just, meaning he's true to his word. He will forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't go to your grave with the unconfessed sin that you led someone astray, whether it's your child, a grandchild, or somebody else's child.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.